Begin.
Okay, gentlemen, what we have tried to do yesterday and we're continuing today is a conversation based on a Gemara on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara on Daf Mem Beis Amud Aleph tells me that how can you say that according to Shmuel, the halacha follows Rabbi Shimon, that Dover She'ena Miskaven is permitted. And therefore Shmuel permits filling the mecham, filling the urn completely. How can that be true when we know that Shmuel holds that malacha she'en sricha legufa is forbidden? Meaning, if I have a gacheles shell eitz, I have a coal that is wood, so I am not allowed to move it according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara's question is, if you hold the Rabbi Shimon, you should be allowed to move that wooden coal to prevent damage to the public. That's the question that the Gemara asked. Meaning, as a matter of halacha, were I to hold the Rabbi Shimon, I'd be allowed to move the coal. Move the wooden coal. Moving a wooden coal, the potential of extinguishing wooden coal is malacha shein tzricha legufa. Grand. The Gemara then goes on, and the Gemara says, therefore, if you have a thorn in the public domain, you can move it pachos pachos midalar amos. Meaning, the Gemara is telling me that we allow rabbinic prohibitions in order to prevent damage to a rabbin. In order to prevent a lot of people from being damaged, you could do a rabbinic prohibition. Melacha she'ena tzricha legufa, extinguishing a wooden coal to prevent damage, that's a dirabbanan, that's a rabbinic prohibition. We permit that to prevent damage. Carrying is usually a Torah prohibition. Pardon me, I'm putting my wire. Carrying is usually a Torah prohibition, but if you go pachos, pachos, midalar amos, if you carry and each action is less than 4 cubits, so in that case, it is going to be a rabbinic prohibition, and we allow rabbinic prohibitions to prevent damage. The thorn that's in the public domain could damage you. A rabbinic prohibition is permitted. Therefore, if either you are going less than 4 amos each time, or if you are in a carmelis is an area which is, according to Torah law, not a public domain. So therefore, in a carmelis, you're allowed to move the coats. You can move the thorn to prevent damage to the community. And even in a Rishus HaRabim, even in a public domain, you're allowed to move it in order to, you're allowed to move it, pachos, pachos, midalar amos. Rabbinic prohibitions are permitted to prevent. Ari, you had a comment?
Yes. Could you define a carmelis? Like, what would it be in English? So, is that like a courtyard?
This
or
is sort of a hard question to define. I'll do
the best I can.
A Rishus HaRabim means a public thoroughfare. There are many definitions of Rishus HaRabim. It has to be a street that is 16 amos wide. It has to be, according to the Gemara, it has to have no overhang. It has to, according to one opinion, it has to be an area that 600,000 people do not traverse daily. That's a public thoroughfare. You can have public areas which do not meet those definitions, and consequently, that's called a carmelis. Let's assume that's what we're talking about. So there are more complicated definitions of carmelis, but what we're basically saying is that all of our city streets are a carmelis, because all of our city streets, effectively, if you could have an Erev in town and you don't have an Erev, What that means is that it is not a Rishus HaRabim. If it's a real Rishus HaRabim, you can't have an Eruv. That's basically the simplest way to define it. So, I am allowed to, I'm going to put you on mute again. Oh, okay. I think we muted in order to avoid echo issues. Effectively, the Gemara says that we permit rabbinic prohibitions in order to prevent damage to the rabbin, to the community. That's what the Gemara says. And our Gemara seems to be saying that we assume, like Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha she'ein sricha legufa is a Torah prohibition. Shmuel only permits moving a metal coal, not a wooden coal, because Shmuel says that malacha she'ein sricha legufa, if I do an action, we tried to define it yesterday, I'm doing an action not because I desire that act, but because I don't want the untoward consequences of not having that act done. I'm moving the coal, or I'm extinguishing the coal, not because I want to extinguish it, but because I don't want someone to get burned. That's a malacha shein sricha legufa. Malacha shein sricha legufa, our Gemara seems to be saying, is a prohibition min ha-Torah. Our Gemara seems to be following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. There are other sources in Judaism, right? As I'm walking up to share today with Ellie, so Ellie said, are we doing Judaism today? And the answer is yes, we are. We're trying. So the Mishnah on Chavtes also seems to follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that malacha she'ein sricha legufa is a Torah prohibition. It's a famous Mishnah because we say it every Friday night. If a person extinguishes a candle because the person is worried that maybe they're going to be attacked, mipnei hanochrim means that the non-Jews are going to attack the community. At wartime, often, they tell you to be dark. Right, London during the raids, you had to shut off all the lights to make sure that no one knows where you are, so they don't see you. So you're turning off, you're extinguishing a candle because you're worried. Mipnei halistim, you don't want robbers to know where you are, so you extinguish the candles. Mipnei ruach ra'a, ruach ra'a means that the individual has a certain psychosis. And the psychosis makes the person nuts when there's a candle around. So you extinguish the candle because of that ruach ra'ah. Or mipnei hachola sheyishan. Or you extinguish the candle so that the person who's ill is allowed to sleep. So then it is putter. However, the Mishnah continues, if you extinguish the candle because you want to save the oil, then you're chayiv. Chayiv again means it's a Torah prohibition. Potter means it's a rabbinic prohibition. The fact that the end of our Mishnah says that if I extinguish a candle because I want to save the oil, I'm a chayiv, that means that malacha she'ein sricha legufa is chayiv. That means that we follow Rabbi Yehuda. And the beginning of the Mishnah that says that you're extinguishing the candle because you're worried about the non-Jews attacking you, you're worried about the robbers, you're extinguishing the candle so that the ill person can sleep. Really, that should be absolutely permitted because it's a case of chol sheyesh bo sakana. Really should be absolutely permitted because the person is dangerously ill. The person could die. And therefore, it's really absolutely permitted to extinguish the candle. And the fact that the Mishnah uses the term putter doesn't really mean it. Putter means it's forbidden to extinguish the candle rabbinically. There's a rabbinic prohibition to extinguish the candle so that the person could sleep. But if we're talking about a person who is a chola sheyesh bo sakana, so It's not putter. It's not that there's a rabbinic prohibition to extinguish the candle. It's absolutely permitted to extinguish that candle. Absolutely permitted. If that's the case. So when the Mishnah uses the term patur, it doesn't mean it. What I have just done is I've summarized the Gemara and Daf Lamed. That the Gemara over there tells me that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv, is a Torah prohibition. So far I have two sources that follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa is a Torah prohibition. This Gemara and Daf Mem Beis and the Mishnah on Chavtes as understood by the Gemara and Daf Lamed. And what we noted yesterday is that the Rambam, Perek Aleph, Halacha Zayin, based on these sources, the Rambam tells me that Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa is a Torah prohibition. That's the position of the Rambam. And this Rambam is not completely rejected. Now, just a word from our sponsor. What do I mean that's not completely rejected? What I'm saying is that Shulchan Aruch at the end of Simin Shin Lamed Daled, I believe I gave you this source, no? Shulchan Aruch at the end of Shin Lamed Daled says, if you have a gachalas, if you have a coal, and it's in the place that people might be injured, you're allowed to extinguish it if it's a metal coal or if it's a wooden coal. That's the first opinion. But the Rambam says it's forbidden if it is a wooden coal. A metal coal, we assume, is entirely derabbanan to extinguish. Extinguishing a metal coal is certainly only a rabbinic prohibition. But extinguishing a wooden coal is a malacha shein tzricha legufa. And the Shulchan Aruch presents two opinions as to whether you are allowed to extinguish a wooden coal on Shabbos. The second opinion is the Rambam. Right, he quotes it. V'harambam oser b'shel eitz. The Rambam says it's forbidden, meaning the Rambam, so to speak, makes it to the big book of Shulchan Aruch. Now, does that mean that I take the Rambam seriously, lahalacha? The opinion that malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is a Torah prohibition, which we noted seems to be the Gemara Mem Beis and the Mishnah on Chavtes. And that's how the Rambam paskins, but it is decidedly a minority opinion among Rishonim, no? Everybody and their uncle and aunt and cat and dog, everyone in the entire family says that we follow Rabbi Shimon, that Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa is forbidden midrabanan, permitted on the level of the Oraisa. And in the Me'iri, he goes on and on and on. He says that the Rif and the Ramban and the majority of Rishonim say that we follow Rabbi Shimon. Even the Mishnah on Chavtes, the Me'iri maintains, I'm referring to the Me'iri that I gave you to look at on Daf Lamed. Even the Mishnah on Chavtes, the Me'iri says, doesn't really follow Rabbi Yehuda, because the last line in the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi poter bekulon besides a wick when you make a pechem, when you make a little coal. Meaning, what's Rabbi Yossi saying? The only time there is a Torah prohibition to extinguish is if you extinguish and you are making a coal. But in any other situation, extinguishing a fire is not a Torah prohibition. It's a melacha shein tzricha legufa. Says the Me'iri, that opinion of Rabbi Yossi at the end of the Mishnah is really the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who says Malacha She'ein Tzricha Legufa is a rabbinic, not Torah prohibition. So we have a dispute. The beginning of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. The end of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. And says the Me'iri, as a matter of halacha, we always follow Rabbi Yossi against Rabbi Yehuda. So what we have is like this. And if you read the Beis Yosef, he basically quotes that 99.9% of Judaism hold that melacha shein tzvicha legufa is a rabbinic prohibition, like Rabbi Shimon. 1%, right? The Rambam, the way I usually say it is that Judaism is a beautiful religion and the Rambam was born. The Rambam assumes that melacha shein tzvicha legufa is chayiv. Shulchan Aruch seems to quote the Rambam. Does that mean that Shulchan Aruch is endorsing the Rambam's position? So, gentlemen, Rabbi Meir Tversky is a Rosh Yeshiva in YU. His father was Professor Isidore Tversky, who was a professor of Jewish studies in Harvard. Professor Tversky has a famous article on the Shulchan Aruch. I think the article is titled Shulchan Aruch, a work of codification of the law with a question mark. What that means is Professor Tversky argues that the Shulchan Aruch was not necessarily written to decide halacha. I have a theory about this also. If you read the introduction to Shulchan Aruch that Rabbi Yosef Karo himself wrote, he tells you that there's a lot that you should know in Judaism. Judaism is big. And I want people to review the basics of Judaism. Once every 30 days, you should take my book, Shulchan Aruch, and read it through once every 30. Does everyone do this, by the way? This should be like required in YU Smicha, no? Read all of Shulchan Aruch once every 30 days. The original printings of the Shulchan Aruch were broken down into segments for 30 days. 30 days at a shot. You get the impression that the, there it is. Okay, Gabe Falk shared Professor Tversky's article. Thank you very much. You get the impression that the Shulchan Aruch is there as a book of review. Now, a book of review is not necessarily, the lawyers have something called the restatement of the law. This is the law in a concise, condensed way. Most assume that's what Shulchan Aruch is. But Shulchan Aruch is not that. Shulchan Aruch is just a review book. So when I write a review book, I'm not necessarily reviewing the law. I might be reviewing what I call basic Judaism. So you should know that the Rambam holds Melacha Shein Tzvicha Legufa is Chayiv. You should know it. Does that mean, as a matter of halacha, I follow that Rambam? Absolutely not. The Mechaber, Rabbi Yosef Karo, feels that the Shulchan Aruch is not a halacha text. The halacha text is the big book called the Beis Yosef. And in the big book called the Beis Yosef, he says, I don't follow the Rambam. He's a minority opinion. How come he quotes the Rambam? You should know it anyway. You're reviewing the book once every 30 days. You should know that there's a Rambam. This is, again, I don't think this is the way it is normally presented, but I do think that it is correct. To some extent, I would use the terms that Shulchan Aruch is a book of limud rather than a book of halacha. It's a text that's meant to be studied, not necessarily a restatement of the law. Okay, so let's just go on.
Doesn't this also just follow Stam v'Shomrim?
So whether I follow rules in the Shulchan Aruch or not, in Shin Lamed Dalet at the end, the first opinion is that we follow Reb Shimon. Then he says that the Rambam holds that we don't follow Reb Shimon. So one could argue that Shulchan Aruch himself is hinting that the Rambam is a minority opinion, because the first opinion doesn't have a name to it, and the second opinion is named, and therefore that would indicate that we don't follow the second opinion. Chacham Ovadia Yosef is very into rules in how we go about reading the Shulchan Aruch. That is a common thing in our world. However, I would argue, it's not just Chacham Ovadia Yosef. His son, the current chief rabbi in Israel, Rav Yitzchak Yosef, has a three-volume book, I believe, Nadia, you'll correct me, called the Ein Yitzchak, where he gives us all of the klalim, all of the rules of how we answer halacha. My understanding is that these rules are post-Shulchan Aruch rules. within the Mechaber himself, I do not know that he followed this rule of Stam and Yesh Omrim, that we follow the Stam. I have no evidence that the Mechaber ascribed to the rules that, let's say, Chacham Ovadia says he held of. What do you do with this? I don't know. I think it's a nice way of showing that there's a development of halacha. It's also a nice way of showing that a text becomes accepted over time in a different way than the text was intended originally. No? Isn't that interesting? The Shulchan Aruch's original intent was not to be a book of halacha, but it became a book of halacha. The Shach, by the way, he's my favorite person ever. The Shach wrote his commentary on the Shulchan Aruch to prove that the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. That's his stated goal. But what happened is, because he writes a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, to some extent that led to the Shulchan Aruch becoming more accepted as a text than had he not written his commentary. Right? There's a number of examples of this in the history of halacha. I apologize to you guys, like, that this is the stuff that I like, but I find it interesting. You're my guinea pigs. What can we do? Okay. So, as a matter of halacha, it would seem that we follow Rabbi Shimon, that malacha she'ein sricha legufa is aser midrabanan. We do not follow Rabbi Yehuda that it's aser min hatorah. Shulchan Aruch in Simen Reish Ayin Ches. In Simen Reish Ayin Ches, Shulchan Aruch says that you're allowed to extinguish a candle for a chole sheyesh bo sakana to be able to sleep. The assumption is that when the person is sleep deprived, whatever illness they have will get worse. I think we know this. By the way, this is another reason why hospitals are not a safe place. No? Because when you're in the hospital, besides the fact that you could pick up any infection on the planet, but they're waking you up like every 3 hours to take your blood. And oftentimes when you're sick, you need sleep to help you recuperate. What can we do? So Shulchan Aruch writes that you're allowed to extinguish a candle so that a chole sheyesh bo sakana can sleep. Extinguishing a candle is a malacha she'ein sricha legufa, and it is permitted for a chole sheyesh bo sakana. Now that's true even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would be true that you can extinguish a candle for pikuach nefesh. That's basically the halacha. The Shulchan Aruch leaves out the conversation. Shulchan Aruch leaves out the conversation that according to Rabbi Shimon, extinguishing a candle for a chole she'ein bo sakana is pater. That part is left out. Shulchan Aruch just quotes the statement as if it would be only according to Rabbi Yehuda. Again, I don't think there is proof from this how he holds, because it's just a short statement of what the law is.
Even for Reb Shimon, it's still Asur Midrabanan.
Even for Reb Shimon, it's still Asur Midrabanan.
So Shulchan
Aruch, I allow you to do a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, would I be allowed to extinguish a candle according to Rabbi Shimon for a chola she'en bo sakana? Right? Chola she'yesh bo sakana means I have an illness I could die from. Chola she'en bo sakana is that you're ill, but you're not going to die. You're not deathly ill. According to Rabbi Shimon, am I allowed to extinguish a candle for a chola she'ein bo sakana? That is not abundantly clear in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch leaves that case unanswered. There is, however, another halacha that would indicate that it is permitted to do a rabbinic prohibition, a malacha she'ein sricha legufa, for someone who is a chole she'ein bo sakana. And again, all of this is mentioned in the Me'iri there on Daf Lamed. You know, the Gemara tells me at the beginning of Shabbos and then later on in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Zayin that throughout Maseches Shabbos, whenever I encounter the word patur, patur means it's forbidden midrabanon. But there are three exceptions in Judaism, three exceptions in Maseches Shabbos where the word patur means it's absolutely permitted. And one of those three exceptions is mappus mursa. Mappus mursa basically is that you have a pus pimple and you're going to open that pus pimple to get the pus out. You're not opening it in a wider sort of way. You're not making a larger opening that will allow air to come in and to potentially heal the wound. But what you are doing is you're simply opening the pus pimple for the pus to come out. The poskim say not only the pus, but the blood that is also accumulated. There's no such thing as just pus, no? Whenever, I apologize for the goriness of this, but whenever you have a pus pimple, there's going to inevitably be some blood that comes out also. Ordinarily, we're not allowed to make ourselves bleed on Shabbos. But that means when the blood is still inside the body, the blood that's together with the pus is outside of the body. I'm allowed to open that pus pimple to allow the pus to come out. Even though some blood will come out also, that's permitted. But I can't squeeze the pimple once it comes out because then I'd be making more blood come out than necessary. And that's the basic halacha. When if I squeeze it, so what I'm doing is blood that is currently in the body, I am extracting. That would be forbidden.
I'm sorry. What's the rabbinic term for the pimple?
Mappus mursa. A mursa. Apparently, it means some sort of pimple. Again, I'm not the linguist over here. You have to ask someone else. A pus pimple is called mappus mursa. It's a pus, a pus pimple. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, in Simin Shin Chaf Ches. I'm just going to mute you because I hear a... in Simin Shin Chaf Ches in Shulchan Aruch, in, where was it? Se'if Chaf Ches. Shin Chaf Ches, Se'if Chaf Ches. It says that if you pop a pus pimple in order to widen it, so that's assumed to be an Isser de Oraisa. If you pop a pus pimple just to get the pus out, imhipisa kidei lahotzi mimena halecha, hareza mutter. It's absolutely permitted. And the Rishonim comment that it is absolutely permitted in that case because Rabbi Shimon holds that malacha she'ein sricha legufa is rabbinically forbidden, and we permit a malacha she'ein sricha legufa for someone who is ill. Once I follow Rabbi Shimon, and again, it seems from the presentation in Shin Chav Ches, If Chav Ches, there is no question we follow Rabbi Shimon. The position of the Rambam, etc., does not even make it. Although if you read the Magen Avraham over there, he tries to dance around and explain how that halacha could be true, even according to the Rambam. But we allow popping a pus pimple, which is for a chole. You're not going to die from the pus pimple. You won't die from it. To relieve the pain for a chola she'ein bo sakana, we allow you to do a malacha she'ein atzricha legufa. If that's the case, so how come In Reish Ayin Ches, Shulchan Aruch quotes that you can extinguish a candle only for a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Even if I'm a chola she'ein bo sakana, I should be allowed to extinguish the candle. Let me give you an example how this comes up. The poskim say that all children until the age of 9, according to some, Rabbi Schechter holds it's not an absolute age guideline, but I know with my 9-year-old son, he's already 9, but anything that's a little bit off makes him, I don't know how to say it nicely, makes him nuts. Now, little kids can be like that. Are you allowed to turn off the light for a little kid to sleep on Shabbos? The kid can't sleep with the light on. Let's say there's no other place for him to sleep. Are you allowed to turn off the light? That's really the issue in the Mishnah, but the Mishnah is only talking about chola sheyesh bo sakana. What would be the halacha by a chola she'ein bo sakana? Are you allowed to turn off the light so the chola she'ein bo sakana can sleep? The Me'iri explains that fundamentally you're allowed to. You're allowed to turn off a light for the kid to sleep. You're allowed to turn off the light for the chole she'ein bo sakana. How come the Mishnah on Chav Tes is only talking about a chole she'yesh bo sakana? How is it different? How come if I permit popping the pimple for a chole she'ein bo sakana, how come we don't say that's permitted to turn off the light for a chole she'ein bo sakana? So the Me'iri gives a few explanations. One explanation is that you don't have to turn off the light. You could cover it. Why get involved in the problem if you don't have to? Why get involved in the shayla of closing the lights on Shabbos? You don't have to, right? You can cover the light. And not only can you cover the light, by the way, the Mishnah Berurah writes, it's better to move the light than to extinguish the light. Muktza is certainly less of a prohibition than turning the light off. Again, in our world where you have electric lights, you can't just like pick them up and move them easily, but you have a candle, move the candle. That's one explanation of the Me'iri. The second explanation of the Me'iri is, when I have the pus pimple and I remove the pus, that is actually the cure for the ailment, or for the, I shouldn't use the word ailment, for the illness that the person has. The illness is fixed by removing the pus. However, when someone is ill and they can't sleep, I don't make them healthy by turning off the light. Turning off the light is not medicine. Turning off the light just enables you to sleep, which will help you get better. Perhaps, says the Me'iri, for a chola she'ein bo sakana, I only permit things which themselves will make you better, which are refuah unto themselves. Moreover, it's not so clear that the light will damage the person. There are three explanations that Me'iri has as to whether, or as to why, I should say, why is it that I permit breaking that pus pimple for the chola she'ein bo sakana? Yet we do not see that according to Rabbi Shimon, that who holds that malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is rabbinically forbidden, how come we do not see that you're allowed to turn off the light for the chola she'ein bo sakana? The Me'iri holds, on a fundamental level, you are allowed to turn off the lights for a chola she'ein bo sakana. You could do a malacha she'ein tzricha legufa, but for technical reasons, don't do that. Technical reasons, you could cover the light. Technical reasons, it's not really going to heal him, etc. But malacha she'ein tzricha legufa is permitted for a chola she'ein bo sakana. That's what emerges from the Meiri's comment. Comes along Rabbi Schechter. Rabbi Schechter, this is like, I would say, one of the differences between Rabbi Schechter and the other Rebbeim in our yeshiva is all the Rebbeim in yeshiva, we basically take ideas that other people have. We're not really creating our own ideas in a large, broad sort of way. We're taking other people's ideas. Rabbi Schechter, on occasion, not always, but on occasion, he develops his own idea, which is a very usable idea that we can apply in many other areas of halacha. And over here, Rabbi Schechter, it's found in his book, Eretz HaTzvi, page 53. Rabbi Schechter develops the idea that when it comes to Shabbos, there are Torah prohibitions, and then there are rabbinic prohibitions. But rabbinic prohibitions come in two different forms. I think we spoke about this already earlier this semester. But Rabbi Schechter develops the idea that one form of rabbinic prohibition is what we call an Isser Derabbanan. There's another form of rabbinic prohibition that's called the Gezeira Derabbanan. An Isser Derabbanan means the rabbi said this is tantamount to the malacha, albeit on the level of Derabbanan. I'm not allowed to write on Shabbos. Okay, grand. If I write with my left hand, is that writing? Or is that forbidden because I might come to write? The simple reading is that writing with your left hand is writing in a rabbinic sort of way on Shabbos, no? If I write, for example, in Shaarei Tzedek Hospital now, they've had this like 25, 30 years. When doctors write prescriptions in Shaarei Tzedek on Shabbos, they have like the type of pens that we used to get in the cereal boxes when we were kids, that you could write, and it will appear as writing only when you hold it up to the light or something like that. Or as a kid, we had like this TV show, Inspector Gadget. Inspector Gadget would have these notes that say, this note will self-destruct over time. In the hospitals, doctors write prescriptions on Shabbos in a way that the writing will self-destruct within 24 hours. So you get your prescription, and you can get your medicine, but it's not kosev min haTorah because the writing won't last for 24 hours. That's a rabbinic form of writing. But there are other prohibitions on Shabbos which are forbidden because I might come to write. No, I'm not supposed to spend Shabbos reading my documents because if I'm going to take out my stock reports and start reading them on Shabbos, besides the prohibition of being involved in business activities, but there's a concern that you might write. That's a Gezeira Derabbanan. An Isser Derabbanan is different than a Gezeira Derabbanan. And Rabbi Schechter points out that when it comes to a Chola She'ein Bo Sakana, when someone is ill, but not deathly ill, again, in Rabbi Schechter's world, Chol HaShein Bo Sakana means that the person is not functioning normally. The person is just like, you don't have to be in bed, but like when everything that you do is like really slow. I just was speaking to someone yesterday who told me that he got COVID a few months ago, and he's just like, everything he does is just like slow. It's been months, he's been better, but he's just not fully functioning, or not functioning as well as he was beforehand. That's probably a Chol HaShein Bo Sakana, according to Rabbi Schechter's definition. No? You're not functioning normally. Chol HaShein Bo Sakana, we permit Gezeiros Derabbanan. For example, Amira Lanachri is permitted for Chol HaShein Bo Sakana. Right? If I am ill, but not definitely ill. You can ask a non-Jew to do anything you want for Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. Amir LaNokri is absolutely permitted. Heter Gomer. Because it's a Gezerah D'Rabbanon, it's not a Isser D'Rabbanon. Similarly, Hashma Askol. Hashma Askol is, you're not supposed to make noise on Shabbos in a way that could perhaps lead someone to fix an item on Shabbos, which would be an Isser of Makeh Patish. Playing music is a paradigmatic case of Hashma Askol. Sometimes in the hospitals, they used to have a bell that you ring, no? In the olden days in the hospitals, they just have a bell that you ring. That's Hashma Askol. Hashma Askol is permitted for a Chole She'in Bo Sakana because it's a Gezerah D'Rabbanon. And the Magen Avraham tells me that since it's a Gezerah D'Rabbanon, I permit it when you're doing a mitzvah. Right, dancing is ordinarily forbidden on Shabbos. But we have a holiday called Simchas Torah, no? On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to dance. I would say we used to have a holiday because this year Simchas Torah was certainly different than it's been in the past. But you're not supposed to dance on Shabbos and Yom Tov. How can we dance on Simchas Torah? The answer is because a prohibition, which is a Gezerah D'Rabbanon. Dancing is a concern that you might come to take a musical instrument and repeat it and repair it. It's a Gezerah D'Rabbanon. We permit Gezerah D'Rabbanon for a Chol HaShem Bo Sakana. A Gezerah D'Rabbanon in many cases is permitted for a mitzvah. When the Meiri tells me that Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa is permitted for a chole. On a fundamental level, you're allowed to turn off the light for a chole she'en bo sakana. For technical reasons, you don't do it. Because maybe you can get by without it. But fundamentally, malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is permitted for a chole she'en bo sakana. Oh, that's grand. That's amazing. Right? That means, though, that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa in Rabbi Schechter world, which I think makes a lot of sense, it is fundamentally a gezeira d'rabbanon rather than an iser d'rabbanon. But it seems a bit counterintuitive, no? I would have thought that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is a rabbinic form of the prohibition. I would have thought if it's an iser d'rabbanon, so therefore, right, maybe it would not be permitted for a chola she'in bo sakana. Rabbi Schechter proves from this Meiri that the Meiri is assuming that malacha she'ena tzricha legufa is fundamentally a gezeira drabonon, not an iser drabonon. And the reason why Rabbi Shimon says that there's a rabbinic prohibition to dig a hole when you don't need the hole, when you need the dirt, or there's a rabbinic prohibition to extinguish a coal in the Rishos HaRabim. The reason why that's true is because it's a slippery slope. It's a gezeira. It might lead you to extinguish coals in other cases. Because it's a gezeira d'rabbanon, so therefore I permit it for a chole she'en bo sakana. That is the opinion of that's Rabbi Schechter's explanation of this Meiri. Okay, so let's just take a bit of inventory over here, what we're up to. We have a dispute, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, whether Malacha Shein Tzrich Legufa is a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition. Although there is some evidence from a Mishnah on Chavtes, and from Argamar Membeis that we follow Rabbi Yehuda, nonetheless, the majority opinion in Judaism against the Rambam is that we follow Rabbi Shimon and we assume that Malacha Shein Tzricha Legufa is rabbinically forbidden. It happens, by the way, if you read the Magen Avraham, in Reish Ayin Ches tries to show that according to the tour, it's not clear that the tour paskins like Rabbi Shimon, and the Magen Avraham there in Shin Chaf Ches, in the case of Mappus Mursa, tries to explain that maybe we follow Rabbi Yehuda. But again, I think normative Judaism is we follow Rabbi Shimon, not Rabbi Yehuda. Now, once I follow Rabbi Shimon, so that should mean that it's permitted to do a malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa for a chola she'ein bo sakana. But that, and that in fact is what emerges from the Me'iri, but that is only true since the Me'iri holds that malacha she'ein tzricha l'gufa is a gezeira d'rabbanan, it is not a iser d'rabbanan. That, I think, is the way things come together. If you read Rabbi Schechter's piece over there, he tries to explain, at the end, he tries to explain slightly differently, but the crux of the piece is the way I just presented it. So far, so good, gentlemen? Now, yeah, Ari?
Could I ask, what would an example of an iser d'rabbanan be that you can't violate for a chola shein bo sakana? So in other words, I understand all the gezera, but right. I mean, like, what
would be an
iser rabbanan that I
chola shein bo sakana? Again, I don't know how this could come up practically, but let's say I have a flower pot which does not have a hole on it, right? Many flower pots have a hole at the bottom, other flower pots don't. If there's no hole at the bottom of the flower pot, so putting that flower pot on the ground is only forbidden rabbinically, that would be an iser d'rabbanan. You can't do that for a chola she'ein bo sakana. Again, in the practical world, I'd have to think for a few minutes to come up with a reasonable case that could actually happen on this planet. But I'll have to process that a little bit more. Like, what is an example in the practical world of something which is usur midrabona, not a gezeira drabona, and therefore you cannot do it for a chola she'ein bo sakana?
Again, something about cooking.
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking.
So if I want to cook for a chola.
Of cooking that we had, some of them are gezeiros d'rabbanan, that you might still cook bowls, etc. Others might be Surim d'Rabbanan.
Okay.
But again, we'd have to be creative. I was thinking about like some of these meals, like they have like the Labri Ut meals, or in the army they have like the MREs, the meals ready to eat, that like you just mix it together, right? You open it up and somehow there's like a chemical reaction that gets hot. Do you guys know what I'm talking about? Right? So those things, I think, might be a rabbinic form of cooking on Shabbos. So maybe we could not do that for a chola she'ein bo sakana. Again, I still would have to give some thought as to a more common occurrence of this. Now, basically what we have said is that for a chola she'ein bo sakana, let's go back. For Hezek Derabim, for cases where a lot of people would get hurt, we permit a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa for Hezek Derabim according to Rabbi Shimon. That's what the Gemara says. if an individual will get hurt, so then we do not permit Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa for Hezek of a Yachid. We only permit Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa.
It's for Shia.
We only permit Malacha She'ena Tzricha Legufa for Hezek of the Rabbim, but not for Hezek of the Yachid. That is the conclusion of the Primogodim that the Bir Halacha quotes here in Reish Ayin Ches. It's interesting, though, that the Bir Halacha's presentation of this Primogodim, I think, is different than the Primogodim says it. The Primogodim writes that for Hezek of a Yachid, we do not permit it. The Bir Halacha's term, when he presents the Primogodim, he says for Tsa'ar. There's a difference between Tsa'ar and Hezek, no? Hezek means I'll be damaged. Tsa'ar means I'll be in pain. The impression I get from the Primogodim when I read the Primogodim is that the Primogodim is saying only for Hezek of the Rabbim as opposed to Hezek of a Yachid, but not for Tsa'ar. That's one point. Next comment on the Mishnah Berurah is the Mishnah Berurah, apparently, sometimes the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Meiri, sometimes he doesn't quote the Meiri. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know any rhyme or reason for this. But over here, the Mishnah Berurah does not quote the Meiri. He quotes the Rambam, that the Rambam says, you're not allowed to turn off the light for the ill person so that he should sleep if you could remove the light from the room or if you could cover the light. He quotes that idea from the Rambam. But then he notes in the Bir Halacha that perhaps this is only true according to the Rambam, since the Rambam paskins like Rabbi Yehuda that Malacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv. So therefore, for the Rambam, you cannot turn off the light if you have an alternative. But maybe for us, that Malacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is rabbinically forbidden, maybe for us, you would be allowed to turn off the light if, even though you could cover it. That's what the Bir Halacha suggests. That's really interesting. He's making a suggestion based on the Rambam. The Rambam, in his commentary on the Mishnah on Daf Chof Tes, says that you're only allowed to turn off the light in a situation where you don't have an alternative to cover it. And the Bir Halacha says, maybe that's only true according to the Rambam, since according to the Rambam, Malacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is Chayiv. However, if you have the Meiri, and the Meiri says clearly that Malacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is Asur Midrabbanan, like Rabbi Shimon, yet the Meiri also says, don't do it if you could cover the light. So the suggestion that the Bir Halacha has, the suggestion that the Mishnah Berurah has, that maybe covering the light is not necessary, according to us, who say that Malacha She'en Tzricha Legufa is a rabbinic prohibition, I see from the Meiri that is not correct. Okay, gentlemen, these are some of my thoughts today. Tomorrow, I'd like to talk about the Muktzah issue, which I didn't get to yet today, and we'll go on. Have a good day, gentlemen.